It's the best time of the year. Football season.
Atlanta keeps it runs. 20-15 to the 10 to the 5. Touchdown, Joel Lanning!
Your number one source for Cyclones football. It's former Cyclones talking Cyclones on CycloneFanatic.com.
Lanning out of the shotgun, looking to throw. He fires to the end zone for Daly. Touchdown, Iowa State!
This is Barely Audible with Jeff Woody, Zach Spears, and Austin Arnott on CycloneFanatic.com.
Oh, yes. Welcome on in, Cyclone Nation, to another edition of Barely Audible. I'm Zach Spears. Here in just a minute, we'll be joined by former Cyclones running back Jeff Woody and former quarterback great Austin Arnott. As you all know by now, the Cyclones lost again to move 0-2 on the year, this time in Iowa City to cross-state rival the Iowa Hawkeyes, 42-3. They didn't look good at all. So is there a quarterback problem? Also, some comments coming out after the game about the running back in the running back situation. Is the running back situation a cause for concern? We'll address that. Also have the quarterback, Austin Arnott, break down quarterback progressions, how the quarterback's mechanics are looking out there on the field so far, talking about reading coverages and what plays to check to, what other plays can the coaching staff implement to help out this poor offensive line play so far. Also break down how they can improve going into a decent TCU team, a TCU team that has struggled through two games so far, just recently lost to Arkansas. So with that, we'll bring in Austin Arnott and Jeff Woody now, and we'll start talking Iowa Hawkeyes game and also moving on to next week in Fort Worth. All right, guys. Iowa State lost to Iowa this weekend, obviously, and this is Barely Audible, so we're talking about it. Austin, your main takeaway from the Hawks losing the Cy-Hawk game over in Iowa City over the weekend, 42-3.
This is one of those classic burn the film games. You know, you look at what we did not do. I mean, there wasn't a lot of good stuff that was on that tape to begin with. So this is one of those you throw it in the barrel, you light it on fire, and you move on to the next one. One thing I did take away, which I know we'll probably talk about quite a bit, but, you know, saw another quarterback play. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens this week. Me being a former quarterback, obviously, I want to see what we have in the park kid, because right now, and I told you guys this earlier in the week when we were planning for this show, Joel's all over the place, and that's not good when you're getting ready to start. Well, getting ready to start Big 12 play. You have San Jose State next week, but, you know, the meat of your Big 12 schedule's on the horizon, and you have a quarterback who Saturday, I thought, took a step back as a quarterback. So that's the one thing with quarterbacks and inexperienced quarterbacks, he's got to continually improve. And we didn't see that improvement on Saturday, and that's why I think he got pulled and they wanted to give Jacob a shot.
Yeah, I thought he was going to pull him earlier. Woody, same question that I gave to Arnott. What was your main thoughts, takeaways from this game?
My main thoughts and takeaways, it's a couple fold. And the main thought that the main thing that stuck out to me was that I was really disappointed in, you know, Yancey McKnight's a big attitude and effort guy where it doesn't take it takes no talent. It takes no skill to have great attitude and have great effort. And the effort that I saw in blocking and tackling was subpar.
Yeah.
And when you're playing in a rivalry game, like Joel, his first series, he was throwing frickin' seeds, just pills, too fast, too much, too hard. But he was all amped up because he was ready to like he was ready to play in the game. Like it's a rivalry game. His emotions were hot, and I didn't see that from the rest of the team. Like they were flat, they were undisciplined, they had no technique, and it was just because I didn't. Like, the requisite focus and effort that they needed wasn't there, and that was what I was most disappointed with.
Austin, let's go ahead and tackle this quarterback thing. I was surprised they didn't put Park in earlier in the game, to be honest. And, Jeff, after the game, you and I were texting, and I've known you for, I don't know, close to 10 years now probably, and I don't think I've ever seen you as confused on your thoughts to take away from a game. And obviously you will detail all of that throughout the rest of the game. And, Austin, you've watched the film, I think, three times now as you went back and –
why?
Because it's early. Because it's early, and I want to. I gotta figure this out. I don't. and this is gonna sound a little bit taken aback. It reminds me, you guys remember when Courtney Messingham was hired as the offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Things started out just like this, if you remember, Jeff, when you were playing, right? So I think what's going on is obviously it's a brand new system, and there are kinks on both sides of the line, players and coaches, trying to get them all on the same page, trying to do things that work, and we're still trying to find the best player, best 11 guys on offense. I truly believe that. We've got one guy that is absolutely playing, you know, his ass off every week, and that's Alan Lazard. There's no question about that. But everyone else, you know, I'm up to discussion. A lot of stuff that we did on Saturday was confusing, and I don't know if in particular, crossing routes, stuff over the middle. If we're not attacking the middle of the field, that's a concern, especially against Iowa, who has a too high safety defense. We've got to attack the middle of the field. The middle field's open. Their linebackers are good. We know that Iowa's linebackers are good. They're meant to cover. They stay on the field a lot during the game. But there's no separation from those slot guys and inside guys. And even, you know, Alan Lazard has never been the best at separating, but Alan's got the uncanny ability to go up and get it and be stronger than the guy. I mean, you see that with, you know, he's already got 250 yards receiving in the first two games. But I'm confused as to what we're going to do to attack the middle of the field. The middle of the field is wide open. Joel Lanning's holding on to the ball for way too long. That's probably some of him. That's probably some of the coaching. As I watched it a third time, like you guys said, we're just late on a lot of stuff, and we can't do that if we want to win games in the Big 12. And I understand this year, right now it looks like it's going to be a rough year, and it may well be. But there's a lot of room for improvement, so that's what I'm excited to see. And we always talked about last week the week one to week two improvement. Well, I want to see these guys continue to improve, and that's a hard thing to do, especially going on the road to a hostile environment. TCU just lost a double overtime game to Arkansas. It's going to be tough for this team, you know, to pick themselves up by the bootstraps, and especially this offense and this passing attack and the running attack. Let's just have one of them working. Alan Lazard's going to be there. Let's have Joel be efficient. Let's have Mike be efficient. We need both of those things to work, and right now they're not.
Well, my question to you, Austin, is why does Lanning look all over the place? And I know it's a new system, so that may play into it, but you mentioned to us off air and in your game notes that his mechanics look all over the place. Mechanics aren't going to change, if at all, or maybe not that much from system to system, are they?
Which is weird. One thing before you go, Austin, because last week against Northern Iowa, his mechanics were a lot better than they were last year, but then he took a huge step back this week. And I mean, I'm not a quarterback, but that's what I saw.
Yeah, and he just looks really unsure of himself. And that's to be expected. This is his seventh start as a quarterback, fourth start. He's got a minimal number of starts, so it's to be expected. But what he's lacking, you know, the one thing that if you drop your three progression, you read the defense, and the thing that's going to propel you to make good throws, make good plays, obviously your eyes, where your eyes are at pre-snap and where he's reading. Number one, Joel Lanning is looking at his targeted receiver on about every single throw that he's making. So he's not using his eyes at all to disguise anything for the defense. And secondly, he's really hung up on throwing off that back foot. You guys watch Cam Newton throw the football. Cam Newton, his mechanics, they're not very good. But he's got a rocket arm, and he's got great placement with the ball. Right now, Joel is getting heavy on that back foot, and he's trying to come through too hard, and he's sailing everything. The kid's got one of the strongest arms I've ever seen. I mean, I had him in camp when he was in high school, gosh, probably 8, 10 years ago. And even at that point, you know, he's overthrown guys by 10 yards at that point. He's still doing it. So it's gonna be up to him, you know, with the routes that we're running and trying to get guys open. He's got to put balls. He's got to lead receivers. You know, he's right now things are high, things are behind, and it's just everything looks different. You know, every throw is a snowflake. It's different every single time. So we want him to try and hone it. You know, that's what's so important about practice, and especially with a new staff, new players, new offense. Every single second, those guys are on the practice field, and those weeks aren't long once the season gets going. Yeah. You know, you only have so many hours of daylight, and you only have so many guys that are healthy. So every rep is so important. He's got to treat every single rep exactly the same, because in the game, the same situation is going to pop up, and how is he going to handle it?
Jeff, you, as I mentioned a couple minutes ago, you were so torn up about trying to take the positives away from this game, and you kind of pride yourself on always being able to find positives, no matter if it's Cyclone football or if it's personal life situations. And, you know, like I said, for the first time I've known you, you really struggled with trying to find some key positive takeaways from this game. And the thing you kept coming back to is that there's so many penalties, and it's the same penalties they did last week. And they're easy fix penalties. It's not like effort penalties. It's, you know, lining up procedure errors. Who's to blame for that? Why is this continuing to happen when these guys are Division I scholarship football players and it's a high-paid staff? Everybody should be on the same page by week two on how to line up before the snap.
Well, I think – so this is one thing that I'm still struggling with, because I want to be mad, but then I want to understand at the same – like, I want to be understanding at the same time, because – like you were saying, like when I watch a game, I watch analytically and I also watch empathetically. Like, I watch, like, what is that guy seeing or what is he feeling, and that's why he's doing what he's doing. And, like, I'm trying to be empathetic, but then also on the other side of that, like, you can't have those mistakes. So what the reason that I'm struggling with this is because there's, like, a general football sense that I didn't see on Saturday that I wish I would have, but I can understand why it's not there. So when you're installing a new offense, there are a lot of like even though they're every spread offense does give or take the same thing, where they're going to run a 2x2 set, and then they're going to run a 2x2 where it's a tight end, and then they're going to run 2x2 where it's tight, and then they're going to run 3x1, and then they're going to run 3x1 with a tight end on the backside, and they're going to do all that kind of stuff, and everybody does it, but there's different terms for it, there's different alignments, there's different widths, and then most importantly that we saw on Saturday, each play can constitute who lines up on the ball. So say there's a play called, just every coach has this, or every scheme has, say, smash and goes. And what smash means is the number one receiver, farthest outside receiver, runs a hitch. The second receiver, the number two receiver, runs a corner. And you read the defensive back, the corner, and whether he plays up on the hitch, you throw the corner. If he plays back on the corner, you throw the hitch. That's really good against cover two. That's really good against Iowa. We didn't hit it very well. Side note. But then you run what's called goes, which just everybody runs vertical. So on, say, in just this alignment conundrum, say we're running smash, and the number two receiver has a corner, the number one receiver has a hitch. The number one receiver has to be on the ball, because in order to catch that corner's eyes, he has to be the one that gets there first. So when I say on the ball, it means his foot is even with the football. Mm-hmm. Being off the ball means he's a yard and a half to 2 yards behind there, so he's got to take an extra step or step and a half, which is like 3/4 of a second, in order for that off receiver to get there, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it's a rhythm thing, and that could, you know, 2 yards, if I'm off, 2 yards means I'm not, a ball is 2 yards over my arms if I'm off in alignment. So say in smash, my number two receiver's off. But then in goes, my number two receiver's on, because he has to get in front of a safety. And in each play call, there could be a different stagger who's on and who's off, which is why there were six procedural penalties that we had, three of which were ineligible man downfield because they were a wide receiver was covered, or it meant there was, I believe, two or three, six men or five men in the backfields, meaning we had two guys off on one side.
Yeah.
And what it's partly because it's new, and like I said, there's these different play calls, and one of them means the outside guy's on, and one of them means the inside guy's on. But then, so there, I can understand why there'd be a mistake, because you're still learning these checks, because there's not general rules, they're different per each play call. But what gets me a little bit frustrated is that this happens, if it happens once, great, fine, it's chalk it up to a mistake. If it happens three times, then so one of the guys, whether it's Allen or whether it's the other wide receivers that are on, have to just take initiative, and somebody has to be in the line of scrimmage. And if Joel starts to go through his cadence, and you know that the ball is going to be coming in about 3.5 seconds because he's starting to call, and that's the rhythm of the offense is going, somebody has to step up to be on the line of scrimmage, or somebody has to step off to make themselves eligible just so the play can happen. It may not be perfect, but you got to be able to freestyle a little bit to make sure that the play happens correctly. You know, not everything's perfect and not everything's right. And if you're not sure, you got to have a general football sense. And that's what I'm empathetic but also disappointed with is that I can understand why we were confused, but I don't understand why nobody took the initiative to fix it.
Absolutely. Now, I agree with you 100%, Jeff. That's something that is easy in the football game. That's easy to do. That is getting lined up. That's easy. So it's frustrating to see a team who's had 19 penalties in the first two games. It doesn't make sense to me. But I want to go back real quick, 1 second, to the offensive side of the ball. Why don't we throw a quick game? I mean, how easy is it when you don't have a running attack and you're not great at the point of impact at the line of scrimmage running the football? Get the ball out quick. Throw a stick route. Throw a slant route. Throw a quick out to the boundary down Lazard. We need to do more stuff out of the quick, quick game, meaning Joel Lenning takes one step from the shotgun and fires a ball out there, whether it's a quick slant or a hitch. Something shorter than intermediate, in that 5 yard range, we can pick up 5 yards on first down and not be stuck at second and 10 or second and 12 or where.
Is quick game easy on the quarterback too, as it is on the offensive line?
It's so easy, especially what Iowa was doing. You guys remember, we call it, Herman would have Seattle and Houston slants or hitches. So you pick a side, you stay a side. And the cover two, against the cover two defense, slants are good. Stick routes with a vertical by the outside receiver is good. You read the corner both times, and then on slants, you're going to read the outside linebacker. It's a very easy, simple read for the quarterback. It gets the ball out quick. It can help you speed up the tempo. You can go quick game, quick game, quick game, hand it off. It's something that Coach Herman was really, really good at. We were good at kind of contrasting it with quick game and throwing in some screens and running the football with a zone read. We've got to do more of that. I feel like we're too stagnant, and, getting behind the chains is something this offense isn't good enough to do. They've got to be better on first down. The simple fact that we can't afford to, Coach Manning, however great of an offensive coordinator he might be, we don't have many plays for 3rd and 10, 3rd and 15. There's not a lot of plays you can call that are going to be successful.
Yeah. So if the penalty problem through the first two games isn't bad enough, they have a quarterback issue, as we've already addressed, and the running game is not there either. And top it all off, Coach Campbell had a quote after the game, and I sent it to you guys. I'm going to read it really quick, and Jeff, I want to get your thoughts on the running back situation, what you thought about the quotes. The quote was, "I keep hearing about Mike Warren, but Mike's a guy that's got to practice well and has to be a guy that's accountable on and off the field too in some ways. Michael has got talent, and really we've got some competition back there, in my opinion, right now, as well as at the tailback position. I think there were a couple times for Mike to make some plays tonight, and we just didn't think he made those plays." Jeff, your thoughts on those quotes and the running back situation for the Cyclones?
I was actually a big fan of that. And I don't know Mike personally.
Right?
I don't know Mike personally, but I know he comes from military background, as do I. And that is one way to get at that kid. Because when I was growing up, I'm putting myself a little bit and kind of probably stretching to get Mike's point of view. But that worked for me. Is I was a lot of times to do it publicly and say the perception that you have of this guy isn't right. Because I'm always very cognizant of how I want to come off and be perceived. So if you can go at that, then if that's a thing that guy holds dear, then that's what you do. And like that was one thing that my dad would always do is he always came at the phrase with me. Said it when I was little and I was trying to help him in the backyard, or whether I was playing football, whether I was playing Division I football, or whether I was studying for a test. He was like, "Are you doing well?" And I said, "Kinda, I'm trying to." And he would always say this line. He would say, "Little boys try, big boys do." And that was the coaching equivalent of that saying is, you're not, we don't need you to try. We need you to do. And that was one of the things that I really liked about Campbell after the game is he wasn't taking any back seats to anybody and wasn't allowing passes for anybody and challenging the leadership on the team.
Yeah. Austin, I guess it's fair to say, though, Warren has responded since that and said that, he took it as a personal challenge, and is what I also think Matt Campbell put it out there for, as you said, Matt, or as you said, Woody, that he thinks that's how he can reach Mike Warren right now going into week three, and he knows Mike Warren personally, obviously. He's one of his players, that he'll respond to it. Austin, when you read those comments and quotes, did you agree with them? Did you like what you heard, or were you surprised by them?
I'm not going to lie. I was surprised. I think, I like that he challenged him. In the same sense, this football team's got to wake up. So, I'm sure a lot of guys in the locker room gravitate towards Mike Warren. So when you see your coach not calling him out per se, but he's just saying, hey, we need more from you. We need more from you. I like it. I like where his head's at. And I don't know Mike Warren from the next man. So I like to think that I believe you, Jeff, and he's going to be challenged. So I'm excited for that. But in the same sense, you know, to put the onus on one guy isn't fair in my opinion, which I don't think he was doing. But I want to see these guys respond. That's the biggest thing, and that I put in our pre-show notes, is that Mike Warren's got to respond. Yeah. Maybe, you know, and people know he's going to get the ball. They're going to target him. They're going to look at, you know, we're going to have two or three guys assigned to him. They know Iowa State wants to run the read with him and Landon, because you got two talented kids with the football in their hand carrying it. So more than anything, I think it was a challenge. I'm excited to see what he does this week. You got a vulnerable TCU defense. So, I mean, never say never. I'm excited to see what these guys can do.
So, Jeff, moving forward to this week, going down here, coming here to Fort Worth, Texas, to play TCU, who just got beat by an Arkansas team, and TCU has not looked good through two games. Struggled with South Dakota State in the opener, and then struggled all day with Arkansas and ended up getting beat in overtime by Arkansas. How can they get this running game going on the road with an offensive line that's really struggled?
That's a good question.
great question, Zach.
Thank you. If I solidly knew the answer to that, I would find a coach's number and say, hey, I got this great plan. But I think the thing that they just have to do above all else is just execute the stuff they have. Like, there's not – it's not trying to reinvent the wheel. It's not trying to find a new way to, you know, a new exotic triple reverse or a new sweet play that you pull three linemen. It's not that. It's execute the stuff you have. And it's not an impossible concept to think that if you can throw quick game, that means the linebackers have to leave the box and they have to go play the wide receivers rather than playing the running back. Then all of a sudden there's less dudes to block and you can block them more effectively. So it doesn't necessarily mean execute just in the run game. It means execute their offense better. And that's a really poor answer to say, what do they need to do? Be better. But they just need to do the things that they're doing, because, and Austin can attest to this because you've called plays before, every play is theoretically executed or executable to score a touchdown on every single one. If it's done, if every guy does a perfect job, every play could score a touchdown. But it's not feasible. But if you can getting close to that is what you're looking for. So just execute better, block better, throw better routes, use better technique. That's the thing you have to do. It's not a scheme. It's not a motivation. It's none of that. It's just do the shit you do better than you've done it before.
Mm-hmm. Austin, going into TCU this week, is Landing still your starting quarterback?
Yeah, you can't have a quick plug with the guy, because in simple fact, he's a captain, he's a leader, he's a guy that has more experience, and he did not play terrible in the first game, besides the last two interceptions. I mean, he had a pretty solid game up to that point.
Against Northern Iowa?
Against Northern Iowa, yes. Played well, ran the football well, just made those key mistakes on the stretch, which you can't have. But Iowa, like I said, was a step back. Now, I'm excited for him this week because he's playing a TCU defense who's given up six touchdowns. They haven't turned anybody over in the secondary. They're giving up a lot of pass yards. I mean, they've given up, I think, 300 yards back-to-back games in one of those games against South Dakota State. So I'm excited to see what Alan Lazard can do, number one. And I'm excited to see Joel Landing bounce back, because he's better than what we saw last week. He's a better player. He's a better competitor than what we saw last week. So I'm excited to see him get back out there, get a shot. I think he'll get the first snap, obviously. But if things go right again, don't be surprised to see the quick hook and bring in the Parks kid.
Jeff, how can this defense create turnovers? We lost the turnover battle again on Saturday.
Well, I think we've only got one on the season. Yeah. I think it was a Bailey fumble in week one. I think that's it. I think we're minus five in the turnover department?
I believe so, something like that. Austin
minus
pointed out in his game notes, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
not good.
And the way you have to do is, again, execute better. It's not football's not a hard game. It's a simple concept of, on defense, occupy the space the offense wants to be in and on offense, displace the dudes that are in the space you want to be in. Like, that's offense and that's defense. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to do anything schematically different or run more man coverage or run more zone. It's execute the things you have better. Like for example, again, on that Tuesday podcast I do with Jared Stansbury on Cyclones.tv, we broke down the first touchdown that Iowa scored. And it's a simple concept where the corner takes who becomes the widest player, the safety takes who becomes the second widest player, and the linebacker takes who becomes the third widest player if there is a third. And if not, he drops into his zone. And that's a pretty simple concept where you can sort out all kinds of twists and rubs and slants and hitches. All that, everything can be covered by that defense. And we busted coverage, and we followed our corner, who's supposed to bounce back out with anything that comes wide. He followed a slant in, and we have a wide open touchdown. And if he would have stayed there, Kamari could have gambled to play underneath it and try to get an interception because the corner already had solid coverage. So if that ball would have been thrown, Kamari could make a play on the ball because he knows that he's already covered. It doesn't – like, football's not a complicated game in the sense that if you execute, you can get people to do dumb stuff. You just can't be the one doing the dumb stuff. Yeah. So execute your offense better and Mike Warren gets going, and execute on defense better and turnovers happen. So it's just – it's not a magical formula. It's just do the things you're doing, but do them better.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the preview for TCU and wrapped up the Iowa game. Austin, you got any gambling games for us?
Oh, I thought you would never ask, my brother. Guys.
Hey, Tom, it sounds like I was right about the Giants game. Giants and Cowboys. You guys were all on my ass.
We were all right. We were all right.
You guys were all on my ass because I was a Cowboys fan. I was right. The Cowboys just can't win without Romo. It's a scientific fact.
Well, here's the thing. It's a scientific fact. You said it right. Dakota, my man Dakota threw it 45 times.
Why?
That's not good.
Why?
Toss rocking the pill 45 times first start.
Romo didn't throw over 40 times in a game until the last game of a second starting season.
Well,
welcome in, Dakota.
Jeez.
Welcome in. So, games this week, guys, we are both, let's see here. We all took the over in that first week of the Houston game, which got totally bumped.
I took the under.
Oh, so Zach is 1-1 college football.
Oh, my God.
Are 0-2. We are all 1-0 in NFL. This week, we got some tough ones, guys. You have for a college game, big game in Norman, Oklahoma. Ohio State is a 1.5-point favorite at Oklahoma as of right now, Tuesday night, 10:23 p.m. Eastern Standard Time,
Let me see if I get this right. Give me Ohio. Give me OU in the points.
You want OU at home?
Yep.
Okay, that's fine. Absolutely. Zach's in on OU. I like it. Jeff?
So this is a tough one because...
This is tricky
because who just beat Oklahoma?
Who did beat Oklahoma?
Answer. Who just beat Oklahoma?
Houston.
In week one. Houston. Who is the head coach?
Tom Herman, a disciple of Urban Meyer.
Who did he used to work for as Urban Meyer? They called and they talked on the phone for an hour or so about Oklahoma. So
did you see Urban Meyer just said we talked personnel and that was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Sure you did. So they are – I know that the scheme is going to be good for Ohio State, but I don't see that Oklahoma is going to lose back-to-back big games, especially in Norman. So I don't know. JT Barrett's a stud, but I feel like Oklahoma's – defense is a little bit too green. They haven't seen a guy like Baker. They haven't seen a guy like Samaje. They haven't seen a guy like Mixon. I'm going to take OU in the points, but the Tom Herman Urban Meyer effect is real. So this is – it's not a confident OU in points.
What about you, four?
Now, guys, I've probably been spending too much time in Columbus, Ohio, as you guys are well aware of.
Yes.
Now, that being said, give me the Buckeyes. Are you kidding me? Urban Meyer, I don't know if everything that Urban does is street legal, but he has the best athletes in the country every single year. So his athletes going on the road, and those guys, they play well on the road. JT Barrett, you know, JT Barrett is JT Barrett. He's phenomenal. He has that. He knows that offense very well. Been in the system for a long time. They're gonna do some things. Oklahoma, you know, it was tough watching. You know, tough watching them against Houston. And Coach Herman had the right idea. I think Ohio State wins at least by a touchdown. I'm
wow.
Totally I'm totally confident.
Calling your shot there,
guys. It's just one of those years the Big 12 is not very strong. Not very strong, especially even at the top. I don't think Oklahoma is a top 10 team. Moving on.
Wow.
What?
Shots.
I don't think Oklahoma's the top 10
shots
team.
Shots fired.
I think Texas is better. Okay, moving
wow.
on.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Moving on. NFL.
And that's the sound of the pitchforks and torches being lit in Norman, Oklahoma for Austin Arnott.
Absolutely. They can come get me. They beat me 56-3. You remember that day? I heard Boomer Sooner and saw that stupid carriage and the horse all day. I don't want to see that ever again. I don't want to see that.
Shut
save
up.
It. Save it. Exactly.
Shut up. You just got a first down. Congratulations.
Exactly. All right. NFL game. Not a ton of great games this weekend. You have the Bengals at the Steelers, but the game I picked selected for us. You have the Kansas City Chiefs, who just came off of a huge win against the San Diego Chargers, going to Houston to play J.J. and the Houston Texans. Texans are a 2.5-point favorite at home. What do you think, Z Spears?
Who are they playing?
Oh, my God.
Will you pay attention?
Sorry.
Z Spears. Texans.
Hey, the Rangers just had ninth inning comeback here to beat the Astros. I'm watching it.
Who?
The Texas Rangers. Playing the Chiefs. I'm not an idiot. I know they're playing the Chiefs. Give
the
me
Texas Rangers
are trash.
The Rangers aren't.
What's your pick?
The Rangers aren't playing the Chiefs.
No, I know that. The Rangers are the best team in American League Baseball, by the way. But give me the Chiefs.
Okay, you got the Chiefs in the points. What do you think? This is your AFC West foe here, the Kansas City Chiefs.
It's a revenge game for Houston because they got embarrassed by Kansas City in the playoffs last year.
Embarrassed.
And JJ got a couple cheap shots, got knocked out of that game. I want to take Houston in a revenge game and the Brockweiler throwing to Braxton Miller for a touchdown.
The Brockweiler. That's awful. That's awful.
Hey, congrats. Hey, Woody, congrats to your Broncos in their running game.
Thank you. We got a fullback back in the system, got a white dude from Nebraska.
Can we get number 26 just kicked out of the league for that hit on cam? Can we get him kicked out of the league?
Dude. That's bad.
That's brutal.
That's bad.
I'm too close to it down here. I can't even.
Well,
remember. All my friends are diehard. It's ridiculous.
As a Bronco fan, I was like, yeah, I'm glad we won. As a player safety advocate, I'm like, I don't feel comfortable with that. Like, I can't celebrate this.
Austin.
It's tainted.
Austin, give us
like a dollar
give
bill.
My pick.
It's like a dollar bill with poop on it.
That's not a dollar bill that anyone wants. My pick, I'm going to roll with Jeff on this one. The Texans. You know, fool's goal. The Chiefs are who we thought they were. They should have got – they were down by, what, 28 points last week to the Chargers? I think the Chiefs still suck. Sorry, Jake Williams. I was the best man at your wedding, but the Chiefs suck. He's a huge chance of the Chiefs fan. I got the Texans. I want to see Jadeveon Clowney actually become a man this season, so I'm excited to watch him play.
Cool. All right. Well,
we're good.
I guess that's all we got. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good luck, Iowa State, as you go down to TCU. I know the Dallas-Fort Worth Alumni Iowa State Club is going to have a big get-together. So if you're are going to be in town, meet up with them.
Is it going to be a Babs barbecue?
I think that they're going to have a get-together before the game over in Fort Worth. I know they're going to have a tailgate and stuff. So get with
them.
It's at DFW Cyclones on Twitter if you're going to come in town for the game. And should be a good time. If nothing else, it'll be warm here. I can guarantee you that. So good luck to Iowa State, and peace, everyone. Have a good week. Go State.